Who are we trusting? Now, in the Old Testament, and in a song we sing and we listen to, some trust in chariots, you know? And that doesn't make a lot of sense to us today because none of us have ever, anybody else here rode in a chariot? No? How many of us here have rode in a tank? Nobody in the military in a tank? Ships, you know? Folks, you may not understand it, but I had an opportunity. I worked 8 years at the old Naval Avionics, which is Raytheon Technology. And they have military defense there. Our military is far superior to anything any other country in the world has. Our enemies, technology, is probably 10 to 20 years behind us. I know we hear about a jet here and a jet there. I say that because when we say we trust in things, folks, how many of us trust in the United States of America? How many of us trust in the might of our military? Don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to trust in things. How many of us trust in our spouse? Okay? I'll give you an example. Kelly's parking the rental car outside in the driveway. Lucas, and so she's got to back in and out and around. Lucas decides he might park his car somewhere else because of a lack of trust that maybe somebody might bump into a vehicle. Okay? How many of us have bought a brand new vehicle and have pulled right up next to an old junker in Walmart and felt real comfortable? You know, trust is part of our lives. We do different things like that, you know? Now, I don't know why my wife trusts me with taking the trash out, because I'm not trustworthy. I don't always get it done. But there's things in our lives that we do have to trust people. You know, we trust that our checks are going to cash on Friday or Wednesday or Thursday or whenever they're supposed to be in the bank. But our trust, and you know, we think about all those different things and we look about trusting each other in physical things. Do we trust each other in spiritual things? Do we reach out to rely on, to trust in spiritual things, in Jesus? In our lesson this morning, our lesson text in Ephesians, it's mentioned, as I got highlighted here, first trusted in Christ. In Him you also trusted. Obviously that's italicized, but I can't understand how you might be able to translate that without having the italicized word in there. But it says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Do you believe and trust in the word of truth? Do we believe the gospel of our salvation? Do we believe we're saved? Do we trust in His word that He has saved us through the blood of His Son? Are we still trying to earn our way a little bit here and there? I'm just not doing quite enough. Has nothing to do with what we do, folks. Let me take that back. It has to be, you have to be faithful. That's it, faithful. It's not of works. Because it's only the power of His blood that saves us. It's only trusting in Him and His word. Do you trust that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise? Do you trust that you have a guaranteed inheritance for redemption? Do you trust that you are His glory? That you are carrying someone to Jesus? In Luke chapter 18, it is written, "And He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So folks, if I was to ask you before we begin this morning, do you trust in yourself? Most of us would say, sure, I trust that I can make good decisions. I can trust that I can provide for my household. I trust that I can lead my children to do the right thing in life. But as we look at this, this is talking about a trust in the spiritual realm between us and the God of heaven. And it's unique how Jesus uses two separate people, okay? One of the most religious people of the day, the best representative of a person of God, was a Pharisee. And then he uses a tax collector, okay? Now, tax collector to us, we would probably think a lot less of tax collectors today if we had to write that check every week. Instead, it's automatically withdrawn, so it's kind of, you know, a no-brainer. We don't recognize how much of our income goes out every single week. But if I was to maybe use a today term for some of you folks, you know, a priest went up, or a preacher went up to pray, and a lawyer, or a politician went up to pray. And you stereotype the differences, folks. We do in our lives. And Jesus is saying, guess what? It's not what you do, it's a matter of the heart. You got to trust in me. You can't trust in yourself. Now we got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We've got to repent from sin. We've got to say no to Satan. There's trust in ourselves from that perspective to be responsible. But we can't save ourselves. Okay? And that difference, folks, between trusting in yourself the way... how did Jesus do? Jesus kept focusing on the Father. He kept focusing on his faith. Of all people, Jesus could have said, you know what? They're all sinners. They're all no good. Nobody can do any good. He could have stereotyped all of us negatively, but he didn't. He stereotyped everybody as needing to be saved, to needing to trust in him, to needing to walk by faith. Everybody is equal in the kingdom of heaven. We live in a world where there's no equals, okay? There's just not. You look at, I'll use an example. Lucas, is every single car the same in the pits when we go to the races? No. It's just not. Does everybody drive same car going up and down the road? Does everybody drive same speed limit going up and down the road? Does everybody use their blinkers like they're supposed to? No. Everybody stay in the right-hand lane unless they're overtaking another car in the left-hand lane? No. But with Jesus, it's yes, we can trust him. Yes, his promises in his holy word and love works and forgiveness works and mercy and grace works. We need to trust in those things, folks, that he brought to teach us to interact with one another. I had to trust in him last night. After the checkered flag, a guy slowed down in front of Lucas, and Lucas kept on the hammer and hit him and flipped 4 or 5 times. I don't know, I haven't seen the video yet. Destroyed a car. Lucas was okay, walked away. Trusted in myself, I wanted to go down there and give some grandpa knuckle bumps. But I got to trust in the Most High God. I'm a child of the Most High God. I got to follow Jesus. I got to trust in His promises. I got to forgive. I didn't forgive until this morning on the way here. I said, I got to forgive. I have to say my prayers. I got to forgive. I didn't close my eyes while I was driving, okay, when I was praying, just so you people know. But I got to forgive because I know that's what Jesus wants me to do. I got to trust in His promises. Trust in what He asked me to do. And that's walking by faith. I got to forgive. It doesn't matter who made the mistake and how it happened. You've got to forgive. And going through life not forgiving and not trusting, not forgiving is not trusting in Jesus. It's trusting in yourself. You're going to get revenge someday. You're going to make things right. You're going to have an opportunity to get back at that person. Folks, don't waste your life away in that type of mentality. Jesus came to set us free. To enjoy this life. To be free from the bondage of sin, of selfishness. And in this parable, Jesus explains that humbleness is trusting in God. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, it mentions, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that's easy to say and easy to do, but then you look at the rest of the passage and what Solomon was writing. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Trust in the Lord on your own heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I used last night's example again. My own understanding was I was angry, but I didn't want to sin. Okay? Now, what kind of example would that have been for me to Lucas? If I had to run right down. Those people last night that bumped each other and were hot and they got in each other's face a little bit. That happens once in a while. Because people get emotional. It's part of life. What kind of example would that have been for me, for Lucas to see that? Or for my son to have to say, Dad, come on, don't act that way. And folks, that happens in our lives. There's nothing wrong. He's a brother in Christ. For him to say, hey, you know, don't talk to me that way. I'll do whatever I want to do. But when he's leading as an example of Christ to help me trust in my faith, folks, we need to be humble enough to let the power of Christ work in our lives. We need to trust in Him and trust that's the right thing. Second Corinthians chapter 1 reads, beginning in verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, in whom we trust. I think it unique that Paul writes to the Corinthians, who delivered us from a great death, and does deliver us, and will still deliver us. No matter what happens in our lives, folks, we got to trust in God. Satan wants us not to trust in him. Okay? I've used this example and I'll use it again. If I decide to drive to Florida, okay? I'm not talking about the trust that you fill your... I fill my truck up and I'm going to make it all the way to Florida on one tank of fuel. Unless I got tanks like Phil has on a big truck. You know? I got some responsibility and some things to take care of. I can't blame God if I run out of gas once I got down to Georgia. Folks, we do that in our lives. Some things we got to be responsible for in our lives. God's talking about us trusting him when we walk in a spiritual realm. How we treat each other. How we forgive one another. How we work on our faith. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for physical things and rely and ask him for help for physical things. We see that all through the scripture. But folks, how much do we ask and trust in the Lord to pray for spiritual things in our lives? Goodness, peace, kindness, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, patience. We pray for sunshine. We pray for temperature. We pray for food. We need to move beyond praying sometimes, folks, for physical things and pray for spiritual things. Nothing wrong with being thankful for what we got. But when do we go from the mode of thinking about ourselves to thinking about others? And I ask us as we pray this week, as children of the Most High God, or if you don't have a habit of praying to God, to please start, because he is listening and waiting for you to pray to him. But pray for other people. Pray for things of the kingdom. Pray for spiritual things, folks. Ask how you can help Jesus. Because he needs our help. Everyone in here, Jesus has a plan for. Doesn't matter where you're at in your walk with Christ and your faith. Jesus has a plan and an opportunity to utilize you in the kingdom of heaven. That's where we need to trust him and just take a step. Put one foot in front of the other as we walk towards Jesus. Do we have others walking towards Jesus? In Proverbs, it's written, as we just read, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I don't know about you, but some things I think I know quite a bit about. But when it comes to spiritual things, folks, in the book of love that guides us to make it to heaven for eternal life, I need to humble myself. We need to humble ourselves and recognize he is the creator. He is the God and the Savior of us. Proverbs 16:20 says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Now, how many of us don't want to be happy? Now, you may think that's kind of a... Folks, I work with some people and have in my lifetime that don't want to be happy. It's apparent. They want to find fault. They want to accuse people. They want to play the blame game. It's not me. It's not me. You know what? Jesus could have done that when he was here. He could have played the blame game. It's not me. It's not me. I'm doing the right thing. I'm walking by faith. I'm the perfect example. You people aren't worth the time. That's not what he said. That's not what he did. And that's a neat thing about him exposing the truth of God. Okay? Even though he recognized the sins of the world and the struggles people had, he recognized the beauty and the greatness and the joy and the peace and the opportunity. He trusted in the Lord. Therefore, he found happiness. Happiness. Now, was I happy last night? Yes and no. Okay? There's going to be times in our lives we're happy and we're not. But folks, when we're not, that's when we need to look to God and trust in Him. There's all kinds of things that happen in my life that can rob my joy. And I say it once in a while at work, you know. And I've had a couple of people say, man, you're a half full type of guy. Well, I'm glad. That's a compliment. To me, I'm walking by faith. Okay? Do you want a boss to rob your joy? Let him get under your skin. You want a coworker to rob your joy? Let him get under your skin. You want the person driving down the interstate to rob your joy? They don't even know that they're a bonehead. They robbed your joy. Guess what? There's times I've been the bonehead. Okay? With what measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you. Jesus said. Karma's a worldly word, but Jesus said that in those terms from the beginning. Don't let people rob your faith and your joy. Trust in the Lord. Be happy. Be happy. I appreciate being around people, okay? They're walking by faith and they're enjoying life and can be happy. Don't get me wrong, there's tough times. We're going to have tough times. We need to be stand beside each other, but we need to continue to trust in the Lord through good and bad times. Proverbs 28:25, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now, if I was asked, do you want your heart to be right with God? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be prospered? Do you want to be safe? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And this is written, obviously, by the Holy Spirit and the power of God through Solomon. It sounds easy, doesn't it? It sounds easy. Let me ask you this, okay? And I'll give you an example. How many of us, when we drive, let our wife drive? Okay, you don't have to, yeah. You can raise your hand if you want. If you don't want to raise your hand, that's fine, because I'll be honest with you. Very seldom do I let my wife drive. Is it because I don't trust her? I'm going to plead the fifth. Yes and no, I guess. I'm a pretty good driving coach, I think. My wife does not think that. Okay? I have a different perspective on how to drive. Is my wife a good driver? Yes. She made mistakes? Yes. Have I made mistakes? Yes. Okay? But most of the time, always, I drive. I trust myself driving more than I do my wife. Do you know what? In our lives, in our spiritual walk, I use that as an example. We get used to trusting ourselves so much that it's tough to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's different. It's different. We don't trust our boss. We want to trust that our check's cash. Some of our coworkers we can trust. Some of our coworkers we think we can trust throw us under the bus. What'd you do that for? It hurt my feelings. Happened to me in the last week or two. I got to get over it. I got to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3, it is written, so we begin again to commend ourselves, do we? Or do we need, as some other, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. Folks, who are you carrying to Jesus? Who are you trusting in? Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. All these passages from the book of Psalms. And there's a whole bunch more. These are just the 5 that I whittled my list down to. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time someone will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies of hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of the Lord in prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' tales and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of that life that is now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Our lesson this morning, folks, is who are we trusting? Just a reminder, daily in my life, I need to be reminded whom I trust. We've recognized there's a whole bunch of benefits in trusting in God and in His Word, and there's a whole bunch of struggles when we trust in ourselves. So I pray this week that we focus a little bit on trusting more in the Lord than in ourselves. If you have a need this morning to trust more in God, make it right with Him where you stand. If you have a need to trust in His blood to have your sins washed away in baptism, we invite you and plead with you to become a Christian this morning, if you're so desiring. If you need prayers of congregation or for any reason, we pray that you use this opportunity as we stand and sing the selected song.